Good morning. Today is a bittersweet day for my family and me. On the one hand, it's a privilege to be able to share with you from God's Word one more time before we head to Nebraska, and so I'm excited and thankful for that opportunity. At the same time, it is bittersweet because we will be saying goodbye to so many people that we love so dearly. And so before I begin the sermon, let me just start by taking a moment to say thank you one more time. On behalf of my family and me, thank you for being such an encouraging and integral part of our lives these past 3 years. It really doesn't feel like it's been 3 years. It feels like it's just flown by. It feels like maybe it was a year ago when I met with Patrick Boyd over coffee just to discuss this position and would it possibly be a good fit at all. And the rest is history. It's been just a quick 3 years, and we're so thankful for it and so thankful for all of you. It's been a blessing and a privilege to learn from you and to serve alongside you. And even as we prepare for what God has next for our family, please know that we will think of you often and you will continue to be in our prayers. As I was praying through which passage to share from this morning, I kept being drawn back to one passage in particular that's become a personal favorite of mine, and I hope will be an encouragement to you as well this morning. So before I begin the sermon, let me just start by asking a question. If people could describe you in one word, what would that be? What word or adjective or phrase would they use? I got to thinking about this because recently I had the privilege of attending a graveside service for one of our members, and Kent was the one who was leading the service. And he asked this question about the person who had just passed away. And it was such a beautiful thing to hear the responses from friends and family members about what they remembered about this individual. And Kent even had his own list. And you could see as he was reading these words and adjectives he'd thought of, just the nods and the smiles. And it was just such a beautiful tribute to this person. And it got me to thinking, what words or phrases would people use about me? How would they describe me? What could they say about me that maybe I wouldn't want them to say? It's an interesting thought to consider. And now let me frame this question just a little bit differently. What would people say about Redeemer Bible Church? What words or phrases immediately come to mind? If we could choose, what would we want to be the first word or phrase that pops out of their mouth? What do we want to be the first thing that people identify us with? You know, we could answer this question a lot of different ways. And it's interesting to think about. But let me ask one more question here. What is it that God would want people to say about you, about me, about RBC? What is it that He wants to see? And again, there are many things that we could choose from in Scripture. But as I survey Scripture, as I've studied it, I really believe there's one primary thing that God wants to see in us. And so as we look at this question today and look to answer it, I invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And as we look at 1 John 4 today, my hope is to just walk through the passage together with you. And then at the end, I want to give an affirmation and a challenge. So let's look at God's Word together this morning. Now, in the book of 1 John, the Apostle John is writing to believers, and he writes with great affection. You can see this throughout the letter. He uses phrases like, children, my little children, beloved. And so even as we come to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, he's going to start this way as well. And he says this, beloved, let us love one another. So John starts with just this simple command, let us love one another. And we're going to see this command three times just in this passage today. In verse 11, John is going to say, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then at the very end of this section in verse 21, he says again, "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." So we're going to see three times in this passage, John gives some form of this command to love one another. In fact, we're going to see the word love or beloved used 29 times in just these 15 verses. So spoiler alert, the primary quality that God wants to see in you and in me and here at Redeemer Bible Church is love. And I think one of the things that prompted this passage for me is because I've seen this lived out so well on so many occasions during my time here at Redeemer. As Christians, we are called to love one another. Pretty straightforward command. And yet at times it can be hard to live out. It can be difficult to love others when we feel like they're being stubborn or unreasonable, when things don't go our way, when we have disagreements with other believers. And yet this passage doesn't give any qualifiers here. It doesn't say, love your brother in Christ unless you disagree on politics. Love your sister in Christ unless she has hurt or wronged you. There are no qualifiers here. We are called as Christians to love one another at all times, regardless of circumstance. And so we see this command that we are to love one another. And not only does John give this command, but he also gives two reasons for this command. The first reason that he gives is because God is the source of love. Take a look back in verse 7. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." God is the one who created love, who demonstrates love, who enables our love for each other. We may find ourselves at times looking for love in all the wrong places, but God ultimately is and always should be the source of our love. And secondly, John mentions that when we love each other, it demonstrates the character of Christ and the difference that God has made in our lives. Take a look again in verse 7. John says, "Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." And the opposite is also true. Look at verse 8. "Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love." So when we love each other, when we demonstrate the love of God to each other, we're reflecting the character of Christ, who He is, and the difference that He's made in our lives. And John not only gives these two reasons here that we are to love one another, but he also reminds us of the ultimate expression of God's love. Look at verse 9. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the ultimate example of God's love. When we were sinners and without hope and without any desire to follow God or to know Him, God the Father once again took the initiative and sent His Son, Jesus, to be made man. And not only that, but after living a perfect life on earth, perfectly demonstrating each day who God is and what His love is like, Jesus showed us the ultimate example of love by dying on the cross in our place. The word that John uses here is propitiation. Some of your versions may have something like atoning sacrifice. The idea here is the turning away of God's wrath. That now because of Jesus, because of His dying in our place as the perfect sinless sacrifice, God is now satisfied. That for those of us who have put our trust in Christ, God now looks at us through Jesus and is satisfied. Not because of anything that we have done or ever could do, but because of what Jesus did for us. Before we continue on with this passage, I want to take a moment and invite you to sing along with me as we reflect together on the love of Christ.
Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean, in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of His love, leading onward, leading homeward to that glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus spread His praise from shore to shore. He who loves us ever loves us, changes never, never more. He who died to save His loved ones, intercedes for them above. He who called them His own people watches over them in love. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best, past the ocean of His blessing, sweet the haven of His rest. This my everlasting glory, Jesus' mighty love for me. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. And I'm alive and well, Your Spirit is within me, because You died and rose again. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. And I'm alive and well, Your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. Help me honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you
Jesus' love truly is amazing. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And so far in 1 John 4, we've seen this command that we are to love one another. We've seen two reasons for this command: because love is from God, and because when we love each other in this way, it demonstrates who God is and the difference that He has made in our lives. And John reminds us of the ultimate expression of God's love, Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross for us. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And so as we continue in verse 11, John's going to give this command again, but listen to the way he phrases it this time. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. if God so loved us. This is one of those instances where we could very well translate it, since God so loved us, because God so loved us. You see, our love for each other is rooted and founded upon the love that God has shown to us. And we get ourselves into trouble when we try and define love apart from God. And we see this all around us today. When we try and define love apart from God, apart from the way He intended it and created it to be, we run into all sorts of counterfeits. But Jesus shows us the ultimate expression of what love is like. And this is the way we are to love each other, the way that Christ has loved us. And now listen to what John says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Just think about the implications of that. We as believers are called to be a living picture of what the love of God looks like in action. And as I've reflected on this, I can't help but think of all the wonderful ways I've seen this lived out at Redeemer during my time here. I think about the ways that people reach out even to the community around us. Things like prayer walks and FCA at RT Hill. Think about the volunteers who serve at White Rock Center of Hope. Think about the people who go and visit shut-ins and show the love of God to them in such a meaningful way. And I think even recently how so many of you have donated food to the COVID-19 crisis, the people who are in need of that. There's just so many ways that we've been able to see the love of God lived out firsthand. And I think also just even in my own life, some of the people who've poured into my life and to my family's life during our time here. I think about people like Brooks, who's very often given up of his time and gone out of his way to give me rides to church on Sunday mornings and to staff meetings, and just some of the great conversations that we've had, the fellowship we've had, and just Brooks, I'm holding out that one of these days we're going to see a Seahawks-Bengals Super Bowl. I'm waiting for that day. But just so many great conversations and just encouraging times together. I think about people like Heidi and all the wonderful children's ministry and nursery workers who week after week give of their time to make sure our kids are cared for and loved and to make sure that the truth of God's Word is taught and is reinforced. I think about Sten Erik and just how he has selflessly poured his life and his time into me to help me become a better leader, and even how he's given me so many wonderful opportunities, like even being able to preach on Sunday mornings to help me grow as a preacher and as a communicator of God's Word. I think of Dave and just his encouragement and just all the things he does behind the scenes that often go unnoticed but are so essential in just helping the church function and run smoothly. I think about people like Alyssa, who just even in the office helps keep the office area clean and organized and make sure we have what we need and that anyone who walks through the door or calls on the phone knows that they're valued and loved. I think about Kent and just all the things that he does, just week after week, tirelessly, making sure that everyone here at RBC is cared for and that prayer requests are communicated and just all the things he does to care for the people of Redeemer. And I could go on and on with this list. These are just a few people just that I've thought of, but there's so many ways that we have seen practically the love of Christ demonstrated during our time here and continues to be done. And so we see here, as John says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And in this way, others are able to see that and recognize what the love of God looks like, to get a picture of what that looks like in action. And this passage not only is an encouraging one as I reflect on some of those great ways that I've seen this lived out, but it's also, for me, it's very convicting. Because there's times where I like to think, okay, well, the love of God, I think I kind of have a handle on this, right? I've gone to church my whole life. I know passages like these pretty well. I've experienced it firsthand. I feel like I've got a handle on this whole love of God thing. And yet, if I'm honest about it, I recognize just how often I still fall short, which, shows that I still have so much more to learn. There's times where I'll be stressed or frustrated and I'll say something snarky to Heather. There's times where I don't give my kids the attention that they need and that I want to give them. There's times where I'll lose touch with family members for a while, you know, if I'm not intentional about it. And so, while I might know it intellectually on the one hand, that doesn't negate this continued call for me to live this out day by day. And that's the way it is for all of us. As much as we know and have experienced God's love, there's still this call that we see here in this passage to live this out, to love each other well in such a way that reflects who God is, so that others might see that and catch a glimpse of who God is. And so before we continue on in this passage, I want to take a moment again, and let's just sing together this song that reflects that continued need to share the love of Christ with each other.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I love the reminder that song gives us. We're called to love each other sacrificially in the same way that Jesus loved us. And John has said that already in this passage, and he's not done yet. Look at how he continues now in 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. This is such a beautiful Trinitarian passage here, and it highlights each member of the Godhead. God the Father showed His love to us by sending His Son Jesus to be made man, to die in our place on the cross. Jesus, God the Son, showed His love to us by faithfully carrying this out, by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again so that now we might have new life through Him. And the Spirit affirms this and gives us confidence that this is true, assuring us of our salvation, and enables us now, gives us the means by which now we can have this deep, abiding fellowship with God, both now, here on earth, and in its fullest form for all of eternity. And now look at how John continues in verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now in verses 13 through 16, we see this word abide, meno, mentioned 5 times. So what does it mean to abide in God? Well, we've talked about this before in passages like John 15, which is closely related. But in this passage, we see 3 things about what that means. The first thing is in verse 13, we see that we know that we abide in Him because of the Spirit. Because God has given us of His Spirit, we're able to know that we abide in Him, that we have this kind of relationship in Him. Secondly, we see that abiding in God is related to confessing Jesus. Verse 15 says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And then finally, in verse 16, we see that it's connected with the way that we love each other. It says that whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And these 3 are all connected, and they all make up what this means to abide in God. It's by the Spirit. It's through this confession of who Jesus is, and the practical working out of this confession is shown in the way that we love one another. And as we continue on, we see that as we abide in God and in His love, it gives us confidence for what's to come. Look at verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. Believers are called to look like Christ, to live like Christ, to love like Christ. And as we do this more and more each day by the Spirit's power, as we become conformed more and more to the image of Christ, it gives us confidence for what's to come. And this confidence drives out fear. Take a look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. When we live the way God has called us to live, abiding in Him, living in His love, there is no room for fear. As John says here, fear has to do with punishment. When we're living the way God has called us to, loving the way He has called us to, it instead gives us confidence. It gives us security in knowing that we're doing His will, that we're living and loving the way He has asked us to do. Now, the fear that John is talking about here isn't just some generic fear. It's really specifically tied to this idea of punishment, of doing something wrong and expecting God to punish you, being afraid of that. But this could be applied to other kinds of fear as well. Even as we experience other fears in our lives, we can still come back to this abiding love of Christ, of resting in that, because that is what quells our fears and gives us confidence for the future. And now John, in verse 19, ends where he began, with a call to love each other. Look at verse 19. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Again, 3 times in this passage, John just drives it home. Our primary call as Christians is to love one another well. This should be the first thing that people think about when they're asked the question, give me a word to describe you or me or Redeemer Bible Church. There are many ways we could choose to root our identity. But ultimately, the first and foremost quality that we should have is being rooted and founded in God's love and of living that out well. And so that brings me to an affirmation and a challenge this morning. I want to start just by saying again just what a blessing it has been to serve here at Redeemer. There are so many ways I have seen and continue to see the love of God on full display. I think about just times in particular where individuals or groups of people have just reached out to Heather and to me and to our family. I think about when Lily was born during our first year here, and how the choir and even many people, some of whom didn't even know us really at the time, reached out to us and brought meals to us and made sure we were taken care of and helped to ease the burden of adding child number four. I think about when our daughter Abigail was at Children's Hospital in Plano for an extended stay, and how even during that time, I know I was worried, Heather was worried, and we didn't know how it was going to play out, and just how so many people just reached out to us and helped us to feel the love of God in tangible ways. How even people like Kent and Sten Eric and the Rakes and Gene Burrows went up to Plano, you know, 30, 40-minute drive at least, to just check in on us and say hi and make sure we were doing okay. And how so many people reached out with phone calls and emails and just little words of encouragement. And I can't tell you what that meant to Heather and to me during that time and just to our family. And I just think about the ways day to day that this is lived out. I think about the music ministry, just all the musicians who've given of themselves week in, week out, and what a privilege it's been to serve alongside them. Their hearts for the Lord, their desire to just worship God through the gifts God has given them. I think about the AV team that I've also had the privilege to serve with, and just how they love serving behind the scenes, and it's often a thankless job. You only notice them when things go wrong. And yet, they just are there week in, week out, eager and ready to serve and do such a wonderful job. And I just think about all the countless others I could name here at Redeemer. I think about the greeters. I think about the security guards. I think about the kitchen staff, the library volunteers, Women's Bible Study Fellowship, the missions leadership team, there's the ABF teachers. There's so many people I could name that just do such a wonderful job of displaying week in, week out the love of Christ. And it's a wonderful and beautiful thing to see. So just to all of you, I just want to first of all just say thank you and keep up the great work. There are so many ways the love of God is on full display at Redeemer. And I also want to just say a quick challenge to you and to myself as well, particularly as we consider the times that we're living in. We live in a world right now that is very divisive, very polarizing, and it's very easy for us as Christians even to become divided on a number of things. And I'm sure Satan would love nothing more than that. And yet we also need to recognize the beautiful opportunity that we have to display the love and grace of God in a way that is so different than the world around us. And that's what we're called to do. So my encouragement to you and to myself is to first remember the love and the grace that we've been shown by God before we post that Facebook rant, or before we make that phone call or write that note. We have a beautiful opportunity to show God's love in a way that makes the world wonder what in the world is going on. And that can only be explained by a gracious and loving God. We're called to do that. And I know I'm guilty of missing the boat there far too many times. So my prayer for us is that we might display the love of Christ as we've been commanded in His Word. It doesn't mean we need to be silent about things, but we do need to be loving. We do need to be forgiving, because that's what God has called us to. It's been an absolute joy and privilege to serve here with you at Redeemer these past 3 years. And so as we leave after today, just my prayer for you and my prayer for myself as well, is that we would continue to display the love and grace of God, the kind of love and grace that we wouldn't have a clue about if He hadn't shown to us first, and might grow in that more and more each day as we become more and more like Christ. through His Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for the passage we heard this morning, this beautiful passage on love in 1 John 4. And Lord, in many ways, there's a lot of it that's not necessarily that difficult to understand when we compare it with other passages. There's a lot that seems to be pretty easy to understand when it comes to what our calling is, what we're supposed to do. And yet, Lord, we recognize how many times we fall short. We recognize that we need You. And so would You forgive us when we failed You on this? And would You just continue to help us to grow into the love and grace that You have shown us through Christ? We're so thankful, Lord, for the way we've experienced this firsthand, the way that we've seen Your love displayed through others, Your grace, Your forgiveness. And so would You help us by Your Spirit's power to just do that all the more each day. Help us to glorify You through this so that others might look at us and see Your love and catch a glimpse of You and be drawn to You. We love You, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, again, just want to thank you all so much for joining us this morning. We hope many of you can make it to from 1 o'clock to 2:30 to our the drive-by greeting later today here at Redeemer. But want to just thank you again for the opportunity to serve with you. We love you, we'll miss you, and we'll be praying for you. And so this morning, as we take off, let me just encourage you and myself to go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all men. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. And share the gospel. Love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.